Amen. You see tonight, my friends, there is an influence that we can leave for a bad example. We can leave an influence for a good example, even one. And I'm hoping tonight, by preaching the influence of a bad example, you'll choose the good example and not follow after the bad examples.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
All night long, I'm saying this to try to
found
the message just a little bit. But all night long, from the very time the Lord said, I want you to get up here, I want you to open it up to let somebody else sing. And He didn't tell me who it was. You may say, well, it wasn't God. He told you who it was. I don't have to know everything. All I'm accountable for is what He's told me. And He told me to open it up and let someone come forward. And the rest of the service has been wonderful, hasn't it?
Amen.
And it's because people were obedient to the Spirit.
Right.
You felt led to stand and testify. And if you didn't, friend, you missed it.
Right.
And we all missed it because you wouldn't do what He had to do.
Right.
But for those of you that were obedient, bless your heart, because that helped me.
Yes.
And the Lord is trying to tell us tonight that if you're obedient, you're laying out a good example for these younger folks coming on. They're going to say, I remember when testify was okay. And we're going to keep testifying about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to keep testifying. That's a blessing. But my friend, if you begin to rebel against God and become disobedient, that's leaving a bad example for our young people.
Yeah.
And I want us to look tonight at the Scripture on the influence of a bad example. And it's found in Mark chapter number 6, verse number 17. And it's about the imprisonment of John the Baptist, whom we've read about, who had baptized Jesus and who had been thrown in prison. And let's see why, number one, he was imprisoned. Verse 17. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. This Herod right here is Herod Antipas. He is the son of Herod the Great. You remember Herod the Great? He's the one that killed all the babies in Bethlehem trying to wipe out Jesus, whom he thought was a rival to his throne. This Herod Antipas is following in his daddy's footsteps. Do you see the influence of a bad example?
Right.
This Herod Antipas, my friend, has taken his brother Philip's wife. It's unlawful for you to take somebody else's wife.
That's right.
But he took her anyway, and John preached, it's unlawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. So in other words, John was in prison for preaching. John was in prison for rebuking sin. He was in prison for preaching for Jesus Christ and therefore not condoning sin. He was in prison. Can't leave this alone, but if you hold your hand in Mark chapter 6 and turn over here with me in 1 Timothy, I think I want 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want us to see something about preaching and rebuking sin by what the Word of God says. You may say, preacher, I don't like you. Last week you jumped in the pulpit and you was preaching about Lot down there in Sodom and Gomorrah and homosexuality.
Well,
friend, it's still sin
in
God's eyes. He's not changed His standard and I'm not going to change His standard.
Hey,
amen.
Amen.
If I happen to preach on something that comes down your street and knocks on your door, I won't apologize for it if that's what God gave me for it.
Amen.
Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 that all Scripture, you may say, I don't like these verses. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God breathed. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. The man of God, John the Baptist, preached the truth to that family, and they got mad. They got their feelings hurt, and so they took the man of God and locked him up in a prison cell and left him right there. Why? Because they hated the man of God for preaching truth unto them.
Amen.
If you think nowadays preaching the gospel is going to get you somewhere and get your foot in some door in this old world's economy, you're bad wrong. It is not a popular thing. I've been in places in the last month and somebody said, this is a Darren Moore, he's a preacher. And I saw people put their head down and look away. They were not proud of the fact that they were talking to a preacher. They were miserable about it. They hated to know that there was someone that stood for the truths of the Word of God. I'm telling you, y'all, your Christian testimony is hated by this world.
Amen.
Back to our story in Mark chapter number 6. We see John the Baptist in prison. But number 2 in verse 20, old Herod was impressed with Mr. John. Verse 20, for Herod, you know, Herodias was going to kill him, but she could not. Why? For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him, and when he heard of him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Herod, that wicked king, knew this was the man of God. And he heard him and heard him gladly. He didn't get saved, he didn't get straightened out, but he heard him and he was marveling at the things he had heard John the Baptist speak. He knew when John said, you're not supposed to have your brother Philip's wife, Herodias was her name. He knew John preached the truth to him. His wife Herodias didn't like it. I think she was the main one that didn't like it. And he was just trying to keep her satisfied. I wonder who's ruling that roost. So Herod here, he's observing John. He's hearing John. And he found him to be a holy man. He was impressed with the man of God. Maybe didn't get saved, but he was impressed by him. Number 3, I think about the word improper. There are some improper things getting ready to take place. Now, you got to understand something. Nowadays, what the Word of God used to say and show was improper nowadays is widely accepted. It's amazing. Instead of taking the church of the world, we've just brought the world into the church. And begin to sing their songs and dance their dance.
Amen.
Bless you. Go ahead. Wave their flag and their banner. Amen. I know you ain't like this. It's killing you. I told you it'd get worse from where you were a few minutes ago.
Go ahead, brother.
But there are some things that are improper in our lives for us to do. Read verse 21. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper, to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. I mean, he threw a birthday gala. Preacher, that's not improper to have a birthday party. Yes, but in Herod Antipas' day, you were to live in revelry, to drink and drug it up. Pharmakeia, that's drug. Drug it up. Drink it up. Alcohol, just as much as you could party. And he's got all his great high friends and highfalutin crowd and his politicians is all invited to this gala. I will say to you, it is improper for you to have a birthday party and be drinking. You may say, preacher, the Bible says I can drink a little wine for my stomach's sake. Yeah, but your name ain't Timothy. And you ain't got stomach problems. My friend, I want to report to you tonight that every alcoholic, every addict of liquor this day started with just a social drink with somebody. They never intended to get addicted. They never intended for it to go any further than it did. But my friend, just a social drink, and then they were, their body began to crave, well, let's have another. And now let's have, now let's drink in the morning. Now let's drink. And next thing you know, you're drinking like a fish. You never meant to get hooked on it. I want to say to you, friends, young people most of all, here's my answer. Preacher, is it all right to drink? No.
Amen.
What would you say if you found me sitting over here behind the gym one day, waiting on the carpenter to come, and I had me a Budweiser? Just one Budweiser. What would you say? You'd lose your respect and your reverence for the office of the pastor of this church. You'd ought to make sure that I kicked out. Well, the rules is different for the preacher than it is for me. Well, you know what? You're kind of a preacher too. You're able to go to your friends and loved ones and reach people that I'll never reach. And if you're going to go out and reach them over a social drink, friend, they're going to recall that and say, you're calling the kettle black.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen? Paul's calling the kettle black, and that never, never worked. Do you follow me?
Amen.
They were having an improper birthday party.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm not done yet. And when the daughter of the said Herodias, that was the wife, when her daughter came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, let me stop right there. That's improper. That day and age, a woman was not allowed to dance before a man. For all those cheap words, no sir. She's basically doing something that's indecent, that is shameful, and unfit for her to do, even in that day and age. And now we're doing it in the church. Putting on our little tutus and running our log boom down through here, dancing and saying we're praising God. Hogwash.
Amen.
That's a bunch of junk. That's improper to do in your house. It's improper to do at the birthday party. It's improper for you to go to a dance hall and watch it. It's improper for you to look on your TV and see it.
Yep.
It's improper for all those places. And by that, it's improper for the house of God.
Amen.
Preacher, I know that. It's amazing what people get addicted to. You can get addicted to drugs. You know, you can get addicted to over-the-counter drugs. You can get addicted to alcohol. Most people get addicted, don't mean to get addicted. They just start playing with it a little, and it just grows. You can get addicted to sex. Sex is supposed to be a beautiful thing between a husband and a wife. Intimate love. You may say, you shouldn't look at you looking down at the floor. Look back, I'm up here. I'm here. You all love to say that in the house of God. You say, well, you hear it all day long.
That's right.
You didn't turn your head away from it.
Yeah.
You didn't put your head down.
Yeah.
You seen it on your TV, you didn't look away from it. Heard it on the radio station, you wasn't getting embarrassed. I want to say to you, sex is meant to be a wonderful thing between a husband and a wife. And when it gets outside of those bounds, my friend, it is improper. And we are hooked on it. Cheating and carousing, God help. And pornography, you better watch what your children pull up on the internet or get, you know, it'll mess you up in a heartbeat, my friend. It's amazing. You didn't mean for it to go that far, but just one view of the computer and you're gone, man. Just one view of that magazine over there at that newsstand, you're in trouble. You know what? You got that junk here. You think your wife don't know. God knows.
Yes.
Just exactly where it says. When he speaks to your heart about it, you better get rid of it. They've sinned in the camp. You think you got it hit, but God says, I know about it.
Right. Yeah.
That sin of pornography is improper for you to have. And you really think you're going to be a witness to your friend with that junk on your life? Not going to happen, friend. Some people get addicted to money. Money. I mean, God bless you, and it's time for you to give your tithe, and you hang on to it rather than give it like you're supposed to. And then you come back and say, God, I need a raise. You come and say, preacher, will you pray for me 2 years later that I'd get another raise? I'll just say, no. The last raise you got, you wouldn't give anything to God. He ain't going to give you another one until you start.
Amen?
When you start doing, you start giving right, he'll give right.
That's right.
It's improper for us to expect anything different.
Right.
Amen? And then you'll get addicted to your work. You'd rather work as come to the house of God. You know people that's addicted to work. I want to say these things are improper. And this young lady, preacher, you've left the scope of the message. I'm just following the, what the Lord leads me tonight. This young lady is doing something improper. She's dancing in front of all the men. Something that is unfit. Something that is shameful. Something probably indecent for her to do. Yet, she danced anyway. And the men didn't stop her. They're drinking. She was indecent. They were happy. And did not want her to stop. They would not look away. They wanted to be carried on further. And they probably enticed her or enchanted her to continue this on further. Maybe words of flattery about her beauty. It's amazing, girls, what that man's flattery will cause you to do. Remember something. He could just be a puff of air. Amen? Preacher, you're killing us. Let's go on. Herod, as she pleased Herod, and them that sat with him, the king said to the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee out of half my kingdom. He liked her so much, he said, I'll give you up to half my kingdom. What do you think he might have been enticing her to do? Hey, do you know who this is? It's his stepdaughter. Well, that makes it. What some of you think differently? I mean, if it's improper, it's improper.
Right.
It don't matter what the family relation might be.
Right.
Whether it's a friend or a stranger or the family, if it's improper, it's improper.
Right.
Yeah, man. So my friend, he's got his stepdaughter there, and he's infatuated with her. He's lustful about her. Therefore, he's committed sin in his heart right there. Verse number 24, the word implore comes to me. To implore means to earnestly desire something. She went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? She was imploring. She was told, you can have up to half the kingdom by her stepdad. Instead of her giving an answer, she went to her mama, Herodias, and said, Mom, I implore you, please, I entreat you, I beg you, give me some advice. What shall I ask for? Isn't that something? It's amazing nowadays how many people are seeking advice from ungodly counselors. Her mother Herodias hated the man of God and the things of God, and that's who she runs to for advice, you may say. But that's her mother. Well, her mother may be a bad example. Getting ready to influence or sway that young lady. Yes, it's still Mother's Day, y'all, and this is a Mother's Day message to the mother Herodias of this daughter here. She was being implored. What shall I ask for? She better be asking for prayer. That's not what she's going to give an answer for. Look with me at number 5. Impolitic. I see the answer is impolitic. What does that mean to impolitic? It means to give a quick answer. She said, the head of John the Baptist. To impolitic means to, without respect or that reverence, give answer for. That's what impolitic means. Spelled just like it sounds. Impolitic. This lady, without thought, without any remorse, said, I want the head of the man of God. She hated the man of God. And she was willing to do anything she could to get rid of him. You know, I'd take you to churches right now that would give their eye teeth to get rid of the man of God.
Right.
Well, that's because he's not doing something right. Yeah, he's not agreeing with their sin.
Right.
I can take you to families right now that have for years stood on the truth and the foundation of the Word of God. But when their child got off to the left wing a little bit on something, when the preacher preached that same message he'd preached 20 years before, now mom and daddy got mad because their daughter's living in it. And they're trying to, oh, well, that's it's from 2005. It's okay now. And got mad at the man of God and want to give him the boot. And find somebody else that'll come in and preach that it's okay.
Right.
I want to say to you, my friend, I'm not going to back up. I don't care how big you are. I don't care how much you threaten me. I will not back off or back up of what the Word of God has said. You may threaten to slam, you may lie, I do not care. It's what the Word of God says. If I back off of what He's told me to do, I fear Him. I'm not afraid of you. I fear Him. He's the one that's able to put the punishment on me. You might black my eye, but I'll get over that. Amen? He killed me. Wipe me. Mine goes back. Brother Percy Ray was preaching revival at the Balfour Baptist Church. Brother Curtis McCarley was the pastor at that point in time. Buck Huntley had pastored that church for years. It was a great place. I got saved at that church. We didn't attend that church. We attended Hooper Street, but I got saved at the Balfour Baptist Church. And Brother Percy Ray told Brother Curtis, he came to me and said, Brother Curtis, if you don't get out of this church, God's going to kill you. I'm talking about the man of God, Percy Ray, one of the man of God, Curtis McCarley. Man, he was a great man of God. And he said, if you don't get out of this place, this church, God's going to kill you. Can you imagine being told you better get out of the house of God? Or God's going to kill you because there's some things not right. You know what Brother Curtis did? He didn't leave. He couldn't see his way clear to leave. Everything looked like it was still okay. There was no reason to leave. Later on, just in a few short months, a dump truck accident crushed Mr. Curtis McCarley to death. Because he didn't do what God told him to do. Friend, you may think, well, my rebellion, my disobedience, it's not really all that bad. My friend, it can kill you, my friend. Hey, Mr. McCarley, he's safe. He's in heaven. But he died in rebellion to God. He's still saved. Can't lose your salvation. You're still a child of God. But he lost some reward right there, amen, because you're disobedient. And I want to say to you tonight, my friend, for you to be disobedient, God can wipe you out. For you to be disobedient to what He says for you to do, you can lose blessings. The whole church can lose. And you can set up the influence of a bad example right in the house of God just by rebellion. You know what the Bible says about rebellion? Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Amen. That's what the Bible says. You may say, preacher, I don't like that. I'm not in witchcraft. If you rebel against God, it is as the sin of witchcraft. Amen. That is putting yourself above Him. Amen. And worshiping yourself. What is witchcraft worship? The devil. You worship yourself rather than God. It's no better than witchcraft, my friend. That's what the Word of God says. Let's get back to our story. I see implication. Verse 25. She came in straight way with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. I see she was implicated. Basically, she's implicated herself. I mean, she went to her mama for advice. That was ungodly counsel. She heard what she said. But she still had the free will to choose what to do.
Right.
You can't blame mama for your mistakes.
Right.
Mama, you may leave a bad example for them to follow. Under God, if you do, I hope they note it as a bad example and I know what not to do.
Right.
But not this young lady here. She heeded her mother's advice and then by her own free will, she acted on it and said, I want the head of the man of God. In a charger. Look with me here. She's implicated herself. Verses 26 through 29 as we close. The impractical has happened. The unfeasible has happened. And immediately. No, verse 26. And the king was exceeding sorry. Yet for his own sake. And for their sake which sat with him. He would not reject her.
Yeah.
He had a free will too, y'all.
Yeah.
Right.
He could have said, I'm not going to do that. I can give you up the half the kingdom. The other half the kingdom's still mine. He could have said that John the Baptist character is staying in my half the kingdom. I'll give you something else.
Right.
He could have done that.
Right.
He could have done that.
Yeah.
But because of his friends,
right.
Because of those that were around him pushing him, he wouldn't back down.
Yeah.
He had been influenced himself by a bad example.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, you better be careful. When you oppose the man of God, if he's in the will of God, and if he's in the Word of God, you'll leave a bad trail behind you, my friend, for somebody else to follow, and you're going to get yourself in a real mess.
Amen.
Verse 27, immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison. Can you believe that? Immediately he took his head. And he brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel. She got what she asked for. Hey, mom, guess what? That bad example. Guess what's going to happen from your bad example? That daughter brought that old bloody head in that charger and gave it to her mother. Happy Mother's Day. You will leave a bad example for your children to follow and give them evil counsel. You leave them that bad example. And then when they go down the road and these evil, corrupt things begin to happen, don't you come running back to me and say, oh, preacher, help me out of my situation. I'll just have to say, that's what you want. It's the way you lived your life before. It's what you told them to do. You wouldn't pray for them. You wouldn't be faithful. Don't come to me now, man. We'll pray, but it's probably too late. They've made up their mind. Happy Mother's Day. Well, the influence of a bad example, y'all, that's scary. Last verse. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. Man of God, been taken right away from preaching. Been completely beheaded. I mean, they stopped his mouth from uttering the words of and the counsel of God because they didn't like him. And they found a way to trap and go by a bad example, kill a man of God. I wonder what their testimony is tonight. Herod, Herodias, and I think the young lady's name was Salome. I wonder what their testimony is tonight. If they never got saved, and I doubt they did, they're in hell.
That's right.
Thinking, why did I not heed the message of the man of God? Rather, I shut him up.
Right.
They'll know that forever and ever.
That's right.
God, here. You stand with me tonight. That's the message God laid on my heart. I know it's not going to excite you. I knew it wasn't going to thrill you. But you saw all night tonight where people were obedient, the blessings that were flowing.
Amen.
And I can guarantee you, when you rebel against him, you will hinder the work of God. You will hinder your own children and the blessings of God that could be upon them. As much as that good example, y'all, of your mother taking you to church and your memory of that, what a blessing it is, there's the other side of the fence about that too.
Right.
I sure wouldn't want to have the testimony that even though I was faithful to church, I was again the man of God who was preaching the Word of God. My soul, that's a dangerous place to be.
Amen.
Your head's bowed, nobody's looking. Preacher tonight, I hope I've not been a bad example to someone. I'm prayerful about that. I don't want to lead anybody astray. And where I may have failed you, Lord, I want forgiveness of this. I don't want to influence anyone with a bad example. But Lord, would you help me from this hour not to be a bad example to someone that I may cause them to fall or be hurt? Who's going to raise their hand and say, I will pray. I want that prayer to be for me all around the house. You can put your hands up and right back down all around the house. Praise the Lord. Do you know that every one of us in this room tonight, that it is possible that you and I could become, even though we're saved, a bad example? Do you realize that's possible? Because we're in this old flesh. It'll take the hand of God and the mercy of God, the providence of God, to help us not to be a bad example. Lord, as we bow our head in your presence tonight, we do thank you for your many blessings. We ask tonight, God, that you would help us learn from this story of Herodias and her daughter and Herod. God, what an influence a bad example can have. The advice, the corrupt advice of a mother. Now the man of God is killed and his head's in a charger. That is her Mother's Day present. I'm sure that message could be taken a whole lot deeper. That mother that introduced her child to alcohol and said, well, one social drink won't be that big a deal. And then there they are, a drunk or a drug addict the rest of their lives. And mom said, pray for them. When mom gave them the drink, Lord, what are we doing? Trying to agree with sin. Help us then, Lord, to agree with you and not to become a bad example and influence others. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I need to quickly have a business meeting with you, very quickly.